Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyssen. We're supported by LeCole. This is the recap of Tour de Suisse Stage 3. Not as difficult yesterday, one that for Mathieu van der Poel wouldn't, it'd be one he was really eyeing off rather than trying to survive the last climb yesterday. 182 Ks. The longest climb of the day is the Umstaler Strasse, 3.4 Ks at 6%. It's up and down in average gradient, then descent. And then it's basically punchy climbs for the last 30 Ks, or so 25 Ks to the finish. And then, yeah, like a false flat drag uphill to the finish. So no real long, the longest climb before that is at the start, which would help form the break. So, yeah, pretty interesting profile, but certainly one that's perfect for riders like Garcia Gortina, Matthews, Mathieu van der Poel, and Alaphilippe if it's super, super hard. But, yeah, Benji, break did go as expected with, of course, the Team Switzerland riders involved.
Yes, always, always, always. Claudio Imhoff once again, second time he's in the breakaway this week. Same with a rally rider as well, wildcard team, so they want to show themselves in the breakaway as well. It was Benjamin King doing so, Rémi Rochat for Cofidis, and Matthias Frank. It's been a while since I've seen him at Arzela Mondiale. Citroën, or whatever the order is that it's set in now. But all in all, this break wasn't going to do it for men. They aren't going to make it today because some teams have settled themselves in the idea that today is a day for their rider. And let's be real, today is the day for their rider because one of the teams was Alpecin, who wanted to win this stage with Van der Poel. And they were not necessarily trying to get it to a sprint because we saw them prepping something just before the Ulmstaler Strasse, with the entire team at the front, Van der Poel sitting in a 4th or 5th wheel on that team, pacing hard towards the bottom of the climb. And it actually opened up on the climb because the last man before Van der Poel, Xandro Meurisse, was pushing pretty hard again, and then Van der Poel went. And when Van der Poel goes, you know that people are going to follow. Alaphilippe, Carapaz trying to follow as well, and so forth. Like, you expected him to attack a bit late. You expected him to attack on the Alburon. You think that this was a good idea?
I mean, sure. I think he said yesterday after he won the stage yesterday, I asked the team to make the race hard. And it seems that he wants to make the race as hard as possible.
It was cold.
Maybe he was cold today, better conditions. I thought he'd attack later on the shorter climb, but must have been feeling good. Maybe he wants to sort of shake off riders like Laporte and Matthews. He wants to make it hard for them. More of a classic style race, and obviously it's not going to be, you know, those climbs. He's never going to make them harder than for Alaphilippe or Sharkman, but still created a pretty select group. With, I mean, it's funny, he keeps on ending up in these groups with like the main GC contenders. It's like Sharkman, Carapaz, Alaphilippe. Oh no, Sharkman was behind, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And Mathieu van der Poel, but then eventually Alaphilippe counted off that. So that's more surprising to me than van der Poel attacking, because Alaphilippe's also going for GC here. And, you know, attacking like that, how much time, best case, are you going to hold off a peloton of Bike Exchange, Bora, Ineos, Alpes and Phoenix for the stage? You're not going to hold them off. But particularly, this is not like the end of a 250K World Championships race where no domestiques are left. There's plenty of domestiques left. So what did you think of Alaphilippe's attack, Benji? I'll throw that back at you.
Well, it was certainly entertaining. It happened just at the time that the group was getting called by the peloton. So that's a very ideal moment, because then there's like a second where the peloton has to decide who's taking control here. But the peloton did decide very quickly, because we saw that Astana first of all started chasing. We noticed that the Koenigriders like Van Zevenand were getting in second, third, and fourth wheel to make sure that they were blocking the chase, so that whenever Astana was flicking his elbow, that nobody would be taking over. But Ineos saw that. Ineos came to the front with Rohan Dennis, and he started hammering it. He even complained a bit to Van Zevenand that he was blocking the chase, which was kind of funny to see. But Dennis went past the Astana rider and just hammered it, and the gap was 10 seconds for a good 5 kilometers, and eventually the attack of Alaphilippe got called again, and we went into the last 10-ish kilometers with other attacks. And I was kind of surprised that Ineos was letting other attacks happen, because then Garcia Cortina, for example, went, and he stayed away for quite a bit, because I feel like he got 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 14 seconds, 13 seconds. And because Alaphilippe was caught in the peloton, and because, well, the fact that he's not a danger, Garcia Cortina is not a danger for GC, Ineos isn't really chasing behind him. So they've decided, don't really care. De Koenig now, with Alaphilippe in the peloton, is like, well, we might as well still try for the chase, for the stage itself. And they put people at the front in that group. So after that attack, they've still got the full confidence in Alaphilippe to try and set something up for the sprint itself. Alpecin rider was also in there trying to help to catch Garcia Cortina. Really strong attack by the Spaniard. I'm happy that we can see him ride for Movistar in decent form, because we haven't really seen that in the classic season. But eventually he also got caught, and we're venturing into the final few kilometers.
I was kind of surprised that, I mean, De Koenig must have just been really confident in Alaphilippe's sprint. Yeah. Maybe they knew, well, they're like, oh, he can get four. Okay, say he comes third, he still takes 4 bonus seconds, so, you know, that's good. Ineos, yeah, they could have lost some bonus seconds at the intermediate too. But, yeah, it was Garcia Cortina, bike exchange eventually pulling, but I think it might have been that man you mentioned, Murisa. Again, I'm never good at recognizing the Alpecin guys. They all look the same, except for MVDP and those Oakley Katos. Yeah, so, by the way, Oakley, just fucking shelve them. They're terrible. They're not looking any better.
And the ones Scarpas were wearing as well.
Well, I have to look at his a bit more closely, but those Katos, mate, like, I can't believe. Anyway, I'm wearing actually good Oakleys right now. So I've got no agenda. I'm just saying they're not growing on me. But yeah, it was Alpecin pulling once again. Garcia Cortina got pulled, I think, brought back with like 800 meters to go. There's a left-hand corner. Maori begins pulling super hard. And, you know, I thought, oh, is Alaphilippe going to – I thought he was going to let the wheel go at a point. But the problem with that is I think MVDP is kind of wise to that. He might have seen it coming. And what would end up happening, whilst it sometimes is a good tactic, is MVDP would snap bridge early, and then I think he'd probably gap Alaphilippe and go off the wheel, and maybe Alaphilippe would then have to close it and then get swamped himself. So he didn't try and do that. Eventually, it was MVDP launching really early to the right-hand side. Alaphilippe sort of was late to jump on it. Matthews is coming up the right-hand barrier side on MVDP's wheel, and then Alaphilippe swings from the left-hand side, Bugani style, to the barriers, and nearly puts Matthews into the barriers, who has to brake to avoid that happening. Alaphilippe then sort of runs out of steam. I think Matthews was running out of steam, or he got checked. And it was actually Laporte finishing strong for Cofidis. But MVDP, literally a class above. You try not to take it for granted, but this guy is so, so good. I think I said yesterday, you know, like, this is his stage, perfect for him. And he's just incredible win from these groups. When it's not a pure bunt sprint, he is absolutely dynamite in these races. And he's a top 10. Van der Poel, Laporte, Alaphilippe, Matthews, Schachmann, Kamp, Benoit, Freyler, Tergis, Woods. Not the strongest sprint field, it must be said. GC, Mathieu van der Poel takes the leader's jersey off Stefan Kung, so organizers at Tour de Suisse must be pretty happy, although they've somehow, you know, no one's able to watch their race legitimately because no one seems to have the broadcast rights. I don't know where the broadcast rights are. Alaphilippe second on 1 second, Kung on 4 seconds, Schachmann 6 seconds. So GC all to play for, but Alaphilippe is gaining those bonus seconds. He took some back again on Carapaz today, 16 seconds ahead of Carapaz again. But yeah, Benji, a few things to talk about. What's on your mind? I'm sure the sprint deviation as well as other things.
Well, certainly, I think that it's the one thing that we instantly want to talk about, the fact that Alaphilippe went to the right of the road from the left side of the road during the sprint, almost putting Matthews in the barrier there. The only reason that I think he didn't crash was because he braked. So it's a situation we've seen a lot before. We've had relegations and DQs for it, and it wouldn't have surprised me if it happened. And we know that they're not going to be consistent about it. The thing is, though, that it's a bike exchange rider that they're doing it to, and bike exchange has publicly acknowledged that deviations are race incidents in the MPK. So does it really matter then today?
I mean, it's come out the top 10, so Alaphilippe didn't even get relegated. I'm just going to say it. I think Alaphilippe's a dirty rider in sprints. We've got in less than a year, I'll give you some examples, Tour de France stage 7, just reckless, out of control, nearly crashes Stuyven, then shouts at Stuyven, who's sprinting in a straight line. Alaphilippe's all over the place, no sanction. And it often happens these things when he's tired or losing the sprint. Next case in point, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, how can you forget? Checks over his shoulder, just straight up chops Hirschi. Doesn't get any sanction because I guess sprint deviations aren't sanctionable unless they're a pure bunch sprint. But he got relegated at least. He did nothing in the Tour de France one. And then today, I think I see zero difference between what Alaphilippe did and what Bouwani did. There's zero difference. They're trying to follow a wheel of a rider going quicker on the up the barrier side. MVDP in this case for Alaphilippe, Viviani in the case of Bouwani. They recklessly, we don't know knowingly, but certainly recklessly swing while sprinting to the right, to the other side, a big change of line or lane. And yeah, they could put a rider into the barrier. So the difference here today is Matthews yields, breaks, so loses momentum or stops pedaling. Stewart didn't yield, and that's why there was the coming together. Same with Jakobsen. You know, if you want to say, well, Matthews breaks, so no harm, no foul, well, then is your logic that Fabio Jakobsen should also have braked? I don't hear many people saying that. And I think the rules, even as they stand, if you deviate from your lane and you endanger another rider whilst you're sprinting, then I would say causing another rider to take evasive action like braking is endangering them. If you are driving recklessly in your car and you nearly run over a pedestrian and they sort of jump out of the way and take evasive action, did you endanger them? I think logically you did. So whether you hit them or not doesn't mean you didn't endanger them. So he didn't get relegated. We didn't expect him to, but it's another example. Just write it down in your books. I'm sure someone's counting at home because we talk about it all the time, the inconsistency in the rule application. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. Any other thoughts on it, Benji?
Yeah, nothing to add. It's basically that. And I agree with what you say. It's annoying. And it's also annoying that some teams don't mind about sprint deviations. And, well, that sets a precedent for their team because every single time that there's something related to bike exchange now, like we mentioned before, we can also always say that, well, they didn't care last time about the race incident. Why are they complaining now? And that's a thing that shouldn't happen. They should be more proactive when it comes to the safety of their own riders. They should defend their riders when they're being deviated against. And I don't agree with that behavior personally. So, yeah, in the end, that's a story of today's stage, sprint deviations. It's been a while since we had one, let's be real. Like,
really? And the Lucy wasn't that long ago, mate. So, okay. What, three races ago? I mean, I think it's almost a meme, the bike exchange thing at this point. I mean, are they going to get Matthews to come out after the race publicly and apologize for endangering the barriers and disrespecting the world champs bands by having the temerity to try and follow MVDP's will? I mean, maybe. Before we do tomorrow's stage preview, I want to talk about our show partner, Lecole, lecol.cc. They even ship to Andorra, which definitely means they ship to wherever you live, unless you live somewhere even more Antarctica? Ridiculous. I don't know. If Lecole do ship to Antarctica, I mean, I might have to talk to them because that just seems like an inefficient business operation. The Pro Air jersey and base layer bundle, it's summer now. I went down the hill to Spain today and it was hot as fuck. And thank God I had the Pro Air jersey on. Because, people told me, you're going to come to Andorra, it's going to be super cold. Well, no, thank God I packed a Lecole summer kit, the Pro Air jersey and base layer bundle. You can save 25% off now. That's before adding any discount codes, which there are plentiful ones. If you are on Strava, join Lecole's club on Strava. There's always challenges where you can get discount codes. The Pro Air jersey and base layer bundle, it's really good value, as well as the sport bundle, which is a full kit as well. So go and check that out. And thanks to Lecole for supporting the podcast. Tomorrow's stage from Sankt Urban to Stade. I actually went skiing in Stade as a 12-year-old, 171 km long.
So last week. Sorry.
That's fair. Yeah, you got me. You got me there. All right. There's two intermediate sprints before the one main climb of the day. So it'll be interesting to see if Alaphilippe and co, they'll be going for those intermediate sprints, I think, or maybe they want to let the break take it. But there's one main climb of the day, the Sarna-Murza Pass with It's 7.5K, it's 4.5%. Let me just check the consistent. It's pretty consistent, and there's no steep pinches in it on the kilometer-by-kilometer profile.
Vanderpool.
I think MVDP is winning this stage.
I think so as well.
Like, I know it's 7.5Ks, but it's 4.5%. I mean, come on. Like, it's the steepest bit. There's a 6.3% K in the second K, but there's no other climbing really all day. And then he's got descent. It's 10Ks, and there's a 5Ks of descent and maybe 3Ks of flat to the finish. Alaphilippe, I mean, Quickstep would have to absolutely launch it. The draft would be huge. Are you going with MVDP again?
Yeah, I will.
I mean, yeah, I just in what way do you see him losing this stage, Benji? Do you think 2.4K is 8%? He was sort of okay. I think. Do you think Matthews would be better, cope better than MVDP? Or what about even Garcia Cortina? Is he better on longer climbs?
I don't know in his current form. We haven't seen Garcia Cortina on a longer climb in a while, so I generally can't tell you. But I think that on paper, Vanderpool in decent form should be able to do so. He's saying that his good form is very much approaching. And, well, I'd say that he's got some good form already. But he's definitely getting ready for the Tour and afterwards the Olympics. So it's looking very good for him. And I believe that this climb he should be able to get over. I'm curious whether they're going to try. I'd expect them to try. And I would like to throw a bigger thing towards you. He's probably not going to try, but how realistic do you see it that if Van der Poel decides suddenly in 1 or 2 years that he wants to try something like the Tour de Suisse for GC, that he could do well in it?
I mean, isn't it this one? Like, oh, nah, he'll surely lose a lot of time on the next year.
He didn't even try in Tirreno, so would he try on stage eight? Yeah, like,
Tirreno had a proper mountaintop finish. I think the difference is the mountaintop finishes. Like, so the hardest climb in the hardest stage in the race, and he won't try. It is the last stage eight, Andermatt to Andermatt. They do a loop. They got 11Ks, 5.5%, 16Ks, 5.5%, long descent, valley. I mean, if Alpecin brought him back in the valleys, maybe he could come back, but then they do the San Gotardo pass, 13.2K, 6.7%, which is pretty regular. It goes to 2,000 meters. I mean, didn't he do a really good Strava segment up to 2,000 meters last year, Benji, on a climb? Am I misremembering this?
You're asking the wrong person. I'm afraid I don't remember that at all.
Anyway, I think MVDP, do I think he has the talent to win a Tour de Suisse with this sort of parkour? Yes. The problem is he doesn't try with TTs. I don't think he doesn't really care. Actually, well, the TT wow. on the last TT is 9.5K, 6.5%. And then they do a descent. What a bizarre
How
TT.
Long has it been since we had a mountain time trial, like in a World Tour race? Since the Giro at some year? Or have we seen another one?
Like, do you classify the San Luca Bologna one as a mountain or just like a hilltop finish? Or Planche de Belfi, is that hill or mountain? It's hill, right?
Yeah, of course. Planche de Belfi was definitely one. My bad. I consider that a mountain trial, to be honest.
I don't know. This one's longer than that. I mean, how many minutes is Dumoulin winning this by? It's like perfect for him, right? 9.5K, 6.5% climb.
We don't often have time trials with descents, and that's what surprised me the most about this, because usually we've got an uphill section of time trial with as limited amount of descents as possible, just in case that it rains or something.
Yeah.
And a time trial could become very dangerous, but it's only like 5%, so it's not like it's a 10% descent that they're doing in the time trial, but it's still interesting to see. I look forward to seeing it.
Dennis is going to win that TT by an obscene margin, I think. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. This was our recap of stage 3 of the Tour de Suisse. We've got the Tour of Slovenia tomorrow. We will be covering the Tour of Slovenia for a couple of reasons. We will be. Sorry, I'm telling Benji live. sorry, Benji, tell your work. You're busy. For a couple of reasons. First, when the Tour de France champion is going to a tune-up, his Tour de France tune-up, I don't really care. It's not a World Tour race. And, you know, in preparation for defending his title, that's firstly. Secondly, the organizers are really cool and they're letting us use – I've been speaking to them and they've agreed to let us use highlight footage. So that's awesome for them to promote the race. So big ups to the Tour of Slovenia organizers. And thirdly, it's a good race. And Slovenian fans are you know, big fans. And fourthly, Benji found that statistic. We were at points this year the biggest sports podcast in Slovenia. So we want to keep serving that fan base as well. So we'll be covering the tour of Slovenia. UAE got a stacked team, like a ridiculous team. And it's also possibly got the steepest finish this year in pro cycling, maybe, or definitely that the World Tour teams will do on stage 4. It's apparently a disgusting climb. So stay tuned for that, and we'll have that in the pod with the Tour de Suisse stage 4 tomorrow. Until then, ciao.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.